Good day, South Dakota, and welcome to Tech Radio featuring the Computer Guys. I'm your host, Kent Osborne. We've got a special Tech Radio Jobs Edition lined up for you today. Victoria Darling, owner of RockstarResumes.net, will join us and share tips for getting hired in today's world of LinkedIn and headhunters. Later in the show, we'll take a look at public versus private space exploration, some recent news there, and of course, take your questions. Email midday at sdpb.org or send a tweet to @sdpb. You can join the discussion on our Facebook page at facebook.com/techradio. Also, as we mentioned before, email your suggestions or questions to our guests today. Joel Brovelite, Amos Aesop, and Jeff Litterk will be here. That email address again, midday@sdpb.org. Or if you tweet @sdpb, we'll get you on the air as well. Stay tuned and we'll talk tech jobs after this. Tech Radio featuring the Computer Guys. We've gathered experts to help guide you in a variety of areas that you may have questions about. The experts are here in the studios of KCSD in Sioux Falls. Joel Brovelite is here, Amos Aesop, and from the Bureau of Information and Telecommunications in Pierre, Jeff Litterk joins us today. But first, after 2.5 decades of writing resumes on the side for friends and clients of nonprofit agencies, today's guests took her love of writing and all things geek and ventured out on her own to write resumes and LinkedIn profiles full-time. Victoria Darling writes for almost all employment fields, but her favorites are those who know what brown coats are, don't automatically think of alcoholic beverages when they hear the word port, and love Easter eggs, even at non-Easter holiday time. And I think that kind of describes everybody sitting in this room.
Yeah, I'm kind of wondering if everybody here, Amos, do you know what a brown coat is?
You don't.
You don't either, do you?
I'm gonna plead the fifth on this one. Anyway, Victoria Darling joins us today on the show. We've been talking tech hiring and jobs and things the last couple of shows, just kind of skirting it on the sidelines. Thought it was maybe time to bring an expert in and talk about getting those resumes polished and kind of how the landscape has maybe changed since I put out a resume. I know it's been a few years, and maybe it's been a few for the listeners in the audience as well. And Victoria, things sure have changed since those days when you mailed out a stack of resumes, right?
Oh my gosh, it's so changed. And the tech industry had a lot to do with that, right? So jobs got more fun, they got more cool, they had better perks. It's a much better environment to work in as well if you get to be in the tech industry.
Yeah, so how important is things like making sure your LinkedIn profile is up to date?
It's crazy important. LinkedIn changed everything when recruiters realized that they don't have to put out a job ad on Craigslist or in a newspaper, and they can just go surf LinkedIn for the people that they actually want to spend time talking to and resumes that might be useful to them. They stopped having to spend 100 hours looking at 1,000 resumes, and they could just pick 12 people they wanted and never post the job online. So it's completely changed the game.
Hmm. Websites as well, Dice.com and others, those important to Dice, get profiles there as well?
Yeah, Dice is good. I mean, what tech recruiters are looking for is somebody that fits their culture. If you think about, like, the gaming industry, for instance, the best games are made by the best talent. So if you don't have the best talent, you can't make the best game and make the most money. So they're really protective of their what's called human capital assets. The employees are their biggest assets because it's the brain that makes the best characters, that creates the best art, that creates the best animation. And so they want to protect that community of developers or geeks, if you will, and so they're looking for somebody that fits their culture.
Amos, do you have a question?
Yeah, would you say, so for a prospective looker, someone who might have an interest in a company finding them through LinkedIn or some other similar website, is it worth it to spend the money to go to the next level to get the professional or the premium version of those, or is it simply enough just to be on those websites?
I can tell you, hands down, you're probably not going to get a lot of attention if you don't have really killer resume writing skills or if you don't get it professionally done. Because, you know, even where you put a period in a sentence, can make a difference on how that sentence is interpreted. So if you write a bullet and you put a period at the end, and the grammar states that you can put a bullet, a period or a punctuation at the end of a bullet, or you can leave it off, as long as all the bullets are the same on the page. If you put a bullet, a period at the end of a bullet, then you're creating a stronger statement. If you're leaving it off, you're creating a more open-ended statement. So it's a subtext thing. What are you trying to communicate? How do you lay it on the page? Are you really a rock star speller? If you're not, if formatting documents is not your forte, let somebody else do it. They're not as expensive as they used to be.
You had forwarded a couple of tips for finding tech jobs, and that leads into the very first one that you sent, which was know your stuff and stick to what you know.
Yeah.
How important is that?
Well, if you are trying to get a job in QA, so testing games or testing softwares, and you don't have any experience in that, your experience is in bookkeeping, you can't sell it. They're going to see, the recruiter's going to be able to read between the lines, but you don't have the experience you need. So what you should do is beef up your resume to the skills that you do have that might transfer. So I think one of the best examples is if you've been a secretary in an office, don't talk about the travel that you do for executives. Don't talk about the catering that you've done. Those aren't relevant to a tech job. Look at the things that are relevant to tech jobs, like being able to learn a software quickly or being able to do a project to the nth degree. Talk about those things, how you work in a team collaborative environment. Talk about the things that they're interested in. Don't write about what's best about you. Write what the recruiter wants to hear or know about you that relates to the job they have. Completely different mindset.
So even if you don't have, maybe you don't have exactly those skills, you can talk about how what you've done applies to the situation
Absolutely.
That you're applying for.
Absolutely. Yeah, you can't apply for something if you completely know nothing about it. So like marketing department, if you have marketing experience but you've never been on a forum for a gaming device or a software or a video game itself, if you've never been in the forums and had conversations, then don't apply to be a community moderator for that forum. You're not going to know the ins and the outs. But if you find a job that you might be good at, like project management, if you've done construction work and you worked on projects, or you did business analysis in a completely unrelated field, you can probably still do project management if you know Microsoft Project as the software. And there's some free courses online for that. So, you know, geek it out. You know, go on YouTube and watch a few videos and get some basic understanding of it. But then play to the things that you have that do apply. But you can't do it if it's completely outside of your range. So try to look for the jobs that are more closely aligned with what you know how to do.
Makes a lot of sense. Yep, absolutely. Just want to just take a break in the action here and let everybody know you can send your questions in for Victoria if you'd like to today. Tweet those at SDPB if you would, or if you'd like to rather send an email, midday, M-I-D-D-A-Y, at sdpb.org is the address. Joel, did you have a question?
Yeah, I mean, I just thought it was a really interesting point and one I hadn't thought of. You know, a lot of the younger people I know are interested in, you know, working in the game field, maybe designing games or, as you say, community moderating, or just any level of that. And I hadn't thought that, you know, if you're not engaged, you know, on a social level, maybe on the forums, that that's going to make it maybe more difficult for you to infiltrate, you know, maybe a certain company that you want. Blizzard might be one of those, something like that. So, can you speak more to community moderation, how you might go about maybe getting a little more experience and how long, how short is too short? I mean, I imagine if you signed up a month ago and then you posted like 100 times, then they're going to go like, oh, this is clearly he's just trying to, you know, raise his hand a bit.
Act of desperation.
Do you need to maybe do that for a year or so, or do you have any ideas on that?
Yeah, that's a great question. The easiest way to break into gaming companies, particularly, is to go the route of community moderation or a community manager, or quality assurance testing. You know, sometimes being a video game tester, even if it's below your pay grade, is a great foot in the door. They promote really quickly, so either direction is a really great entry point for inexperienced gamers or inexperienced game employees, I should say. So community moderation, you ask if a month is enough time. It depends on the quality of your post. Yes, if you can establish a speaking voice and you can respond to things appropriately and you can be inside of a flame war without being the flamer, you're the voice of reason, you're the voice that has somehow center and calm things, then heck yeah, the recruiter's going to sit up and take notice, even if it only has been a month that you've been doing it. It depends on the caliber and the quality of your post and what you're addressing and what you're not. You know, they're going to be able to pull up a record really quickly of everything you posted if you give them the form that you're involved with. You know, we sort by screening, right? So I can look at your history and see exactly what you've done over the month. And if it's 400 posts, but all of them are just, yeah, I agree with that, or no, I don't agree with that, or they're lengthy posts where you've really created a voice for yourself, they'll be able to see the difference.
So should you include, maybe if you have a screen name you've had for a while for this game that you play or something, I'm thinking specifically of a son of a friend of mine who's looking at getting into the gaming industry, and he posts all the time. Should he include that profile on his resume? A follow-up question, if he does, and he might have some things in there he's maybe not interested in them seeing, should he not include it?
Perfect question, and it's a 21st century question for sure. Cover letters are the place to put the reference. Don't put your screen name on your resume. Put it on your cover letter. The recruiter's going to look at the cover letter as an insight to your personality. Who are you? What are you about? And how excited are you to be in the gaming industry? I've literally sat in the office with recruiters when a cover letter came in where somebody was gushing about, oh my God, I'm so excited to be that this opening has happened. You know, and if it's well written and it's excitement with a little bit of restraint, it's completely endearing to the recruiter, and the recruiter will end up noticing it and showing it to, like, the HR manager and making facilities people. Like, they get really excited about your excitement. So that's an important place to put that. And specifically when you have a link to your screen name or profile for gaming or social media or anything, you have to step back and see it from an objective viewpoint. What is the whole body of the work under that screen name? So if you were in college 10 years ago and you were doing keg stands all the time and drinking and texting and driving and talking about it, well, no, you don't want to put that. And you can't filter it out. It's an all-or-nothing baby, right? So some of the places you can delete what you've said before, some places you can't. So just know that it can completely help you or completely hurt you. It just depends on what the content is that's involved behind that screen name.
And don't be surprised if you're not asked that question. If you don't volunteer it, you may get asked that question. And it might be time to go back and clean out your profiles.
It definitely might.
Absolutely. Well, we need to take a short break here. If you have a question for Victoria, she's going to hold on the line, and you can send that to us now. Tweet it at SDPB, or if you'd rather, the email address is midday, MIDDAY at SDPB.org, and we will be right back after this. And welcome back to Dakota Midday Tech Radio on this lovely day. We have Victoria Darling with us. She's been in the tech industry on and off for more than 20 years. You worked at a little place called Electronic Arts, or EA. Some people may have heard of that.
I think maybe a few people heard of it.
I think more than people have. Yeah. So one more of your tips. We're just going to give this one out, and I'll blog about this later. But so you say be creative and show a little personality in your resume. And I think that dovetails right back to what we were just talking about on cover letters.
Yeah, it's a fine line. How much personality is a good amount and how much is too much? So let me tell you a couple of crazy stories first. When we were looking at when I worked at EA, I officed with all the recruiters. None of the executives had offices. Everybody was out in pits in shared work environments so that they could brainstorm while they're at their desk. I managed six buildings for EA, and I officed with the HR team who had to sit behind closed doors because of the confidential stuff that they dealt with.
Sure.
And so I would be involved in all the HR conversations about crazy fans of the game or crazy people who wanted to work there. So one time we got a cake that was designed like a Darth Vader head. It was three-dimensional, it was tall and wide, it was gorgeous, but it wasn't professionally done. You could tell that somebody did it in their home kitchen. And we were so excited to get it that we put it in the kitchen, and like 400 employees come out to ooh and ah and take pictures and, you know, social media, this stuff. But nobody wanted to eat it. Because, and it came with a resume. Somebody was using that as their way in to apply. No one wanted to eat the cake, and no one wanted to call the person back because we weren't sure if they were a real fan or an anti-fan. We didn't know if there would be razor blades inside the cake. We didn't know if there was anthrax in there. We didn't know what it was. So that was a little too over the top. If they had put together, somebody did come dressed in a 3D costume, R2-D2, and it was really creative because he was on his knees to do it, and he had this mechanical sound, you know how R2-D2 talks. And he came with his resume in hand, and we completely found that charming. It was so over the top, such a risk, but it got him an interview. I can't remember if he got the job, but the job is always based on the skills. Do the skills and the personality match the job and the team that needs to be filled? But at least it got that person a callback. Another person that wanted to be creative had their picture taken in front of our studio. Star Wars is a crazy game that people really, really love, and EA is not always a company that people really, really love. They, you know, you either love EA or you hate EA. There's never hardly anybody in the middle. So at this particular building, there was no name on the outside about it being EA inside. There was just like the physical address number, and that was it. So it was trying to be under the radar. So unless you worked there, you weren't supposed to know where the building was. A fan found out where it was and wanted to work there. So you're in front of the door after hours, holding up signs for work for food. It was really kind of funny, but it was also a little on the scary side. It was a little too enthusiastic. So a really good balance is to make your resume as creative as possible, make it a little different, put some images in of the work that you've worked on or links to online images, and in a cover letter, be a little enthusiastic. Say, you know, I've been playing games on Nintendo consoles since 1902. My brother gives me a hard time because blah, 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 blah. Like, show your personality and show your enthusiasm. Tech companies can hire anybody they want, so they want people that really want to be there. You know, if you have 500 resumes and only two really want to be there and they say it, those two are going to feel a little more intense than the other 498.
Sure. I guess I have a two-part question here. If somebody's a little bit queasy on maybe their resume goes a little bit too far or maybe doesn't show enough, personality, that's where folks like you can step in.
Absolutely.
Is that where you recommend that people either contact somebody like you or just, I guess, seek professional help?
Yeah, there's a lot of resume writers that do just quick reviews for really low cost. Like, I think mine is $39. I'll take a look at it, tell you where you're off the mark, where you're on the mark, or what you can do to improve it. And then that's a really fast way. And whether it's me or somebody else, it doesn't matter. What matters is that you have somebody with recruiting experience eyes, somebody with tech industry eyes, to be able to look at it and say, yes, you're on the mark. No, you're over the line. Here's how you need to rein it in.
Okay. And do companies come to you looking for folks and say, hey, have you run across anybody lately? Are you a resource as well?
Absolutely. It works two ways. One of the services I have is campaign manager. So there's a lot of people that are too busy to look for work. They know what they want to make. They know what area of the country they want to work in. They know what kind of work they want to do. Maybe now they have a great resume, but they just don't have time to find really quality leads. So I network with recruiters and headhunters and look at job boards to help find really juicy leads for those people. But at the same time, those recruiters call back to me and say, hey, I'm looking for a QA analyst, or I'm looking for a senior level business analyst, or I'm looking for an analytics manager. Have you had any good resumes come across your desk? Absolutely. It works both ways.
And I imagine the more quality leads that you provide, the more likely it is that you're going to get a call back in the future.
Absolutely. It
just helps out in the networking and everything. Amos, did you have a question for Victoria?
I did, but now it just escaped me.
You did, but it escaped you. That's
yep.
Okay. Just as a reminder to folks, we are taking the questions today via Twitter and Facebook, of course, facebook.com/techradio. Tweet us at SDPB, and the email address is midday, MIDDAY, at SDPB.org. For our guest today, Victoria, and you're in Texas, Victoria, is that correct?
I am. I'm in Austin. Yeah.
You're in Austin, but you've got clients. I looked at your client map, and it's literally almost every continent. Certainly,
yeah.
All over. So
yeah.
The
anywhere there's an English-speaking person that needs an English-speaking document is pretty much where I work.
Okay.
I got one from a coffee plantation manager in Timor Leste. I didn't even know Timor Leste was a country. Apparently, it's in Southeast Asia. It's a half of an island. It's crazy small.
All right. Well, again, if you have questions or comments for Victoria, we're the place to come. We got on this topic, Victoria, a couple of weeks ago because there's a company, EBSCOR in South Dakota, that's looking at doing some retraining of folks that are looking to get into the tech industry. So they're either polishing up their skills or they're moving into the tech world because maybe they see the salaries of people working in technology continue to go up year after year. Are you seeing a lot of people that have maybe a tech is a second career for them, as well as people right out of college or right out of some sort of trade school?
Absolutely. I think tech is way more interesting because, particularly because tech salaries are really juicy right now, and tech benefits are off the charts. So to get and keep the best talent, when the next tech company over has really great benefits, you have to have somebody. Actually, I think I had two people working full time on nothing but creating new benefits for the staff. So things like free massages or free food. I mean, it's just there's crazy number. But I don't think I bought any food for I think at least 5 days a week, sometimes six, for 4 years, because every day, breakfast was delivered from Whole Foods. Every lunch and every dinner that you worked through was paid for by the company, and you got to pick from 20 different restaurants. So it's just there's crazy number of benefits. People want in all the time. I recently worked on a registered nurse's resume, who she wanted to leave pediatric nursing and get into tech. So we had to sit down and figure out what her transferable skills were and repackage her whole history in a way that would be interesting to tech. And she's now doing it. She's a corporate services manager, which you wouldn't think that, well, most people don't even know what corporate services are. Corporate services are the folks who host the parties. They're the people that when the governor comes in and they want to host a press conference thing, there's a lot of tech jobs, and they want your company, the tech company, in the background when they have that video footage. They're the ones that set up all the security and staging for that kind of event. They're oftentimes the people that order the food. They just make the quality of the life on the job really great for employees. And so she ended up being a non-gaming gamer. Does that make sense? Like, she didn't,
it makes sense.
She didn't develop the game, but she supported the team that did.
So how accurate, if a while back the movie about interning at, I think it was called The Internship. For Google, mm-hmm. kind of a fun story. So is that really based in reality then? Is that the way it is? Man, we may have lost Victoria, which is okay.
Well, we should point out that it is a comedy. So it may not be entirely accurate.
They might not get the girl at the end.
Yeah, it might not be all. You might actually have to work at some point. I suppose we'll see if we can get Victoria back on. But it looked like we got a question in.
We did get a question.
Non-tech job related.
It is. Maybe if you know how to troubleshoot this question, you should be in tech. We're going to take this one from Joe. This morning my keyboard stopped working. Changed the batteries. He doesn't remember how it communicates with his desktop. Can you please tell him? Is that probably not a Bluetooth thing? Probably a IR. Or?
When he changes the batteries, there's more likely a dongle of some sort. There's probably going to be a USB receiver, is my guess. Now there are some that come that are Bluetooth, and if you've got built-in Bluetooth on your machine, then that'll be it'll work that way. But I'm guessing. Does it say? Is it a desktop?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
almost all the Logitech keyboards are the dongle that's for the mouse, if it came as a kit, is the same dongle for the keyboard. So if the mouse is still working, it's probably not the dongle, but the keyboard.
There's a little connect button on all of those wireless that aren't Bluetooth devices, which Logitech, as you guys pointed out, are. So you probably just have to press that little button, and usually they're super small and super hidden. Often by the batteries, but not necessarily. And it might be on the keys itself. You might have to look. But usually there's a connect button, and you have to press that for the computer to actually sense that. And sometimes it's on the dongle as well, which is dumb. But that is likely it, I'm guessing.
Hmm. And I'll just put out one thing, because I have quite a bit of Logitech stuff, and their battery orientation stuff can be really hard to fathom at times. I have actually put batteries in backwards before. Make sure you're getting power lights on the keyboard. Your numlock should light up. If it isn't, you still have dead batteries, or I would check your battery orientation just to be on the safe side. I've more than once put batteries, especially in the Logitech mice, in the wrong way because the documentation is so poor. So,
yeah. So that's a great tip, and it may have just toasted out.
Yeah, usually when the batteries go dead, you have to reconnect those wireless devices, and they're all different, unfortunately. You know, another tip I just quickly slide in there, you can download the manual for all of the devices at Logitech's website, and if you can't do that from your computer since you have no keyboard, maybe do it from your phone or somebody else's, but download the manual from their website, and you'll be able to sort that out.
So Victoria Darling is back with us from rockstarresumes.net. If you're looking for an address for Victoria, maybe you want to check more into getting your resume beefed up. We've also put that that link on the website, on our Facebook page, facebook.com/techradio. A little bit of a promo about the show today and a link back to rockstarresumes.net. Amos, did you have something for Victoria?
I remember now. So, Victoria, if you had to come up with just one online presence, which is the one that you think is going to get you the most You know, the best good press. Which one should I focus on? What should I spit shine and make real, real nice and shiny for me? Is it LinkedIn? Is it a personal web page? Is it a Facebook? Or do I absolutely have to have a combination?
It's a hybrid between two. So your LinkedIn profile is the number one way. But if you're going to be actively looking for work, not just waiting for a recruiter to call you, then you need to be inside of groups inside of Facebook. So there's a lot of job searching boards inside of Facebook, and if you join those groups, you'll get leads that don't ever get published publicly. But that's when you're ready to be actively looking for work. If you want recruiters to consider you, let's say you have a job where you're making $80,000 a year and you're doing sweet and you're not really looking for something else, but if a great gig comes along, you're open to it, well then make sure your LinkedIn is tight. If you're looking for work, you can do LinkedIn and LinkedIn groups as well. It's just, it's more where LinkedIn is more where recruiters come to you than you go find recruiters. There are some job leads on there. So if they're going to be tech leads, LinkedIn's a really good place to look for them, as is Glassdoor.com. And Glassdoor.com will tell you a little bit about the salary history, tell you what interviews have been like at that company. It's like the Yelp for companies' hiring processes.
So what you're telling me, what you're telling Amos is all of them. You kind of have to at least have a presence on all of them.
Yeah. Monster.com is not big anymore. I mean, they do it. Tech Jobs is going to be Dice.com. There's some smaller ones, but it's really, you need to have a LinkedIn profile that's good. And on LinkedIn, it's not like your resume. You can attach your resume, but your LinkedIn should be from first person. So you'll use statements like, I really love all things geek, or if you really are trying to target a job at Google or Facebook, then you need to say that right up front in your LinkedIn profile. But your LinkedIn profile needs to be tied in. It needs to be first person. And then if you're looking for jobs, there's several ways to do it that are really good. One is to be inside of job search groups on Facebook. But don't link your personal Facebook page, or don't make your page public, or don't let your wall be read by outsiders if it has too much personal content. You want to be really selective about what an employer can see in your social media path.
So quick follow-up on that. So I never even thought about that, although I think you maybe mentioned it at the top. Do you set up LinkedIn profiles for people, and are there people out there that do that? Is that like the new resume?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Probably, I don't know, 50% or more of my business is LinkedIn profiles.
Interesting.
Because it's so much easier to get a job with a LinkedIn profile. Because recruiters, think about it, you know, recruiters, I think I said it earlier, recruiters don't have to put the job posting out on the internet for people to see and respond to. They can just go look for the top 12 in that field in their area and get a little background history on them and then invite them in for an interview. And if one of them works out, then they never posted that job online anywhere.
That's an interesting perspective. We're going to take another quick break. When we come back, we'll continue the discussion on, because this is such an interesting and I think relevant and timely thing for all of us to keep in mind. There's several good stories in here, and we'll continue to explore those after this. And welcome back to Dakota Midday Tech Radio. Just a reminder, our next show, February 6th, is our next show. Of course, that's a Friday. And then the other date in February is February 20th, if you'd like to write those down or make note of those in your personal data assistant, maybe. Join us again on those dates, February 6th and February 20th, of course, of 2015. We are talking today with Victoria from rockstarresumes.net. And Victoria has all kinds of tips and tricks for helping, I guess, polish up that resume, get on LinkedIn, emphasize the things that you're good at, and maybe de-emphasize the things that aren't relevant to the job that you're looking for. I found it really interesting, Victoria, when we were talking about sort of connecting with people that somebody already works in that firm or that field, and making sure that when you make contact with that person, this is what kind of came to mind to me. You were talking about gaming forums and making sure that maybe you weren't the one that, you know, lost a fight and went back and just whined on the forums all the time. Maybe keeping your comments and your thoughts, you know, on a positive note, or maybe pointing out legitimate problems with the game. And creative solutions for fixing those might be the thing that catches somebody's eye.
It's absolutely true. If you become known for pointing out technical challenges in a really positive and helpful way, that's going to get you noticed from a technical perspective. They're going to see how your mind works. They're going to see how you engage with the public. They're going to see how approachable you are to feedback or to engagement, and that's going to make you interesting to people that work in the industry, and then those people in the industry are going to say, hey, to the recruiter, hey, I know you have that job opening. I saw this guy online that's been doing killer reviews and finding bugs that we never thought of. Might be something to check out. The recruiter will definitely go, just based on that recommendation, and look at those posts and reach out and ask for a resume. It happens all the time. You'd be surprised.
I never even really thought of it, but there's a guy that works at the company of a game that I play, and he probably doesn't frequent the forums that I'm in, but his wife is a gamer, and mm-hmm. she's a moderator on the forums. And if, you know, that could work positively or negatively, and hopefully it would work positively to you if you knew that and you acted in a positive way and you were creative, that could get your through secondhand information from a spouse or somebody else that they knew could be that toe in the door that you're looking for.
Absolutely, absolutely, and it doesn't hurt. You know, when you are on the forums and you have a tagline or a signature line, you can add a famous quote, or you can add an image of your avatar, or you can add a little sentence that says, my husband's looking for work doing this kind of job. Anybody got leads? You know, and then click a link to his resume or to his LinkedIn. That's a great way to self-promote. I mean, you got to think about it. Community moderators work from home, and they start out making $40,000 to $60,000 a year with no college education and not necessarily any work experience related to it, just because they've been active in the forums. And then if they're really good at it, they can get hired for other jobs within the same company, making even more. I've seen people start out in a gaming company making $40,000 a year, and within a year, they're making $80,000. Because there's lots of opportunity for advancement if you're a really kick-butt employee.
This is
how prevalent are these jobs out there? Is there a constant need for new talent, or is it tough to get these jobs simply because people don't leave them very often?
They leave them all the time. So talent being the number one resource at any gaming or tech company means that they're always being wooed away by somebody else. So if you're really good at what you do, you're going to get offers without even trying from other companies that see what you've done or have heard about you through the industry, especially if you know how to network. Like, you go to like E3 or Comic-Con or some of those places, and you become known within the community. That's going to raise your profile, and people are going to think of you when they have an opening. How many times in a year does a new game get started in development? It happens, there's probably 20 every month that are started. They have to get new talent from somewhere. They have to create new forms from somewhere. They have to have people to fill those spots, even if the game doesn't do well. So it's not uncommon in the tech and gaming industry for you to have your job 6 months to 2 years and then leave it and go on to something else. It happens all the time, and it doesn't make you less valuable. Now, if you're looking at government work, semiconductor work, working at a banking institution, they don't want to see you leave jobs within 2 years. Gaming and tech, completely different. If you have a series of career progressions, like you've gotten promoted, you've received accolades, you've gotten bonuses, or you've gotten great feedback and reviews, or you create an online presence, you do some personal branding stuff, there's no telling how far you can get in a very short period of time with no college education. It's changed everything.
I'm soaking all this in, trying to think how this applies to my life. And Jeff, did you have a comment? I thought that was maybe Jeff, but he's Jeff. Victoria works for the Bureau of Information and Telecommunications in Pierre, a government agency, and one that you know is doing recruiting all the time for people in the tech industry. And they have obviously the state has a website for recruitment, I guess, or they post jobs there to be filled. Jeff, is there a big churn in state government? In your opinion, do people leave quite often? Are they recruited away, or do they tend to stay in South Dakota?
Well, there's a steady attrition, like any company. I'd probably say we're probably a little bit lower on the attrition side in different disciplines than others. Developers probably have the highest attrition versus system admins and other infrastructure type people. You know, it is kind of steady and stuff. I wouldn't say it's you know, it's big. We almost always have at least one or two positions open, but we're not, you know, having like 20, 30 at a time. So,
like maybe a gaming company would, if they have a, you know, 100 employees or over 1,000 employees, there's probably a lot more than here.
Yeah, and one thing with us is, you know, we're more business developer, stuff like that. Skill set's a little bit different, and stuff too. We compete more with, you know, with banks and other big institutions versus gaming companies, which are looking for a little bit more creative and a little bit different skill set. So,
awesome. Well, I think we're gonna move on a little bit, Victoria. I really, really appreciate your time today. We've actually devoted quite a bit of time to the show to this, and I think rightly so. You've brought out a number of points that are definitely food for thought. I found myself slipping out of the radio job and thinking, oh, I need to be doing this or I need to be thinking about that. And you've captured my imagination and got me off track here. But certainly great information for folks. Just want to give the website out one more time for you, Victoria, and that's rockstarresumes.net. Is that correct? Is there any other way? Do you have an email address or do you have a preferred way to contact? Maybe LinkedIn.
The easiest way to get a hold of me is my phone number, and it's public, 512-676-1690, and I'm a big fan of texting. So, and I work 24/7, so I work when the clients need me. And even if you just want a little talk through an issue, I'm happy to help.
You want to give that number one more time?
512-676-1690. It's great for texting.
Yep, and just because it's public radio, we give a phone number, we have to repeat the phone number several times. So
okay.
That's why I wanted to make you do that.
Absolutely, no problem.
Yeah, thanks. Thank you so much for your time today. Amos, we wanted to recap a little bit on CES that happened kind of while we were on the air last show, and what happened? Anything big?
Well, you know, there were some interesting things, and one of the things that we've talked about maybe over the last couple of times we've spoke or we've been on the air has been things that have related to 4K TVs and whether or not now was the time to buy them or, you know, what was the next iteration. I think Jeff had found a website that was touting an 8K TV somewhere in Japan. But some of that was interesting at CES. You know, other things like cell phones that were meant to bend. You remember Bend? Was it Bend
Gate?
Yeah. Well, the LG has actually come up with a phone that's supposed to flex so that when you put it in your back pocket and you sit down, it doesn't break, but rather it bends and flexes. The one thing that I thought was interesting was Belty, and I don't know how useful this is.
Tell people what it is.
What I'm concerned about is that somebody actually thought that this was so important, and somebody else funded this. Belty is a self-adjusting smart belt, such that when your belt becomes too tight, it expands for you so that you don't have to go through the laborious process of moving it to the next notch. And it's supposed to make weight loss easier. I don't understand how that works, because now your belt no longer is telling you when it's too tight or not.
It's not constricting you at all.
Right. But that was one of the items there. It's called Belty, and I don't understand.
I'll just inject that it's not a very pretty belt, and the buckle's about the size of a car, too, for it to work. So I'm not sure how well that's going to go over.
There are certain areas of the country that might play rather well. But I think the reason we hear about Belty the fact we're talking about it now is that it is such a ridiculous product that everybody picked it up as a ridiculous product, and it's gotten so much press. And I imagine some of the donations are even ironic, I would think. Such a silly device.
It's a wearable, and wearables are big, just barely. Okay, well, so Nike, didn't they just come out with the shoes, the Back to the Future shoes that auto lace?
Well, that's useful.
That is useful.
Yeah. And there's also some shoes coming out that generate electricity into batteries for recharging stuff as you walk, which is very useful and actually encourages exercise. So.
That must be like the wave technology from over in Europe.
Well, I don't. It would be weird if that actually encouraged exercise. Because how silly do you have to be? You can just plug it into the wall. There's a wall everywhere. You don't have to. Darn, my battery's dead. I gotta go walk again.
No, but you
no,
might,
I know.
You might
just
make
kidding.
Use of the fact that the amount that you
I
do.
I think that's a great idea, though. That's a great idea.
Well, you go for a hike and you come back in your tent. There's no plug in.
Yeah,
you could. And you needed to. Get your GPS charged, you could just plug it into your shoes.
Yeah. Theoretically. I think that's a great idea, though.
I
think we're going to see more things like that, where energy, and not just energy, things are recaptured and reused, whether that's products being recyclable, power being minimized, light being reused, things like that. I think that's another way, besides wearables, that we're going to see things go. There's a lot of wasted, a lot of things. Like if you think about LED lights versus incandescent lights, you know, you use 70% more energy on average on an incandescent light, but it all goes to heat, which you don't want because you just want light. So I think we're going to see a lot of that type of thing.
So far this winter, I have wanted the heat, but I understand what you're saying. This summer, I'm not
going to. Not from a light bulb,
I'm not going to want it. Yeah, exactly. I hear what you're saying. On the 4K, getting back to the 4K TV thing, did I see there's a kind of a rift going on about the formats being.
Yeah.
Are we going through the Betamax VHS thing again?
They're calling that a fork in the technology, and that there is. Some who are taking it one direction and some who are taking another. And the latest I had read was that give it 6 to 9 months, and by that time, all of the questions will be answered, and you will discover which one takes the route of the VHS and which one takes the route of the Betamax. That's one of those things that it happens with technology, and one will win out because it's better. You know, we saw that with... And it took a lot longer, but we saw that with the plasma TVs versus other flat screen TV technologies, and they had their pros and their cons on both sides. But eventually, price and technology and availability won out, and now we just don't see plasma anymore.
That argument just kind of burned out, right?
One interesting thing about the 4K and going forward is it's not only high resolution, but they actually almost doubled the color palette and color range available. Into the standard, and that's going to actually be backdated to the older 1080p TVs too. So pretty soon you're actually going to see TVs that just look a lot better, even if they're not 4K, but it's part of the 4K standard going forward.
The 8Ks that are being looked at in Japan, that's about as far as you can take the human eye, isn't it?
Yeah, the only thing left is another expansion of the actual color range that can be displayed. That still is not quite there expand all the way to the human eye, but it's getting close after the after this new expansion in 4K. You're going to see a lot of the reds and stuff be a lot better color without blooming and stuff in the newer TVs here soon. So the next big step after 8K is basically just keep expanding the color palette, show more colors.
Do we see any advancement in the VR end of things? Making
there were some additions other than Oculus Rift. There were some additions to those same wearable technologies.
Yeah. Well, that is all the time we have for today's show. I want to thank our guests, especially Victoria, as well as Amos and Joel and Jeff for being with us today. Again, join us February 6th for another edition of Tech Radio featuring the Computer Guys. Just a reminder, you can join us online anytime, facebook.com/techradio, or use the email address whenever you'd like, midday@sdpb.org. Have a great weekend, everybody. Enjoy the great weather out there, and we'll see you again February 6th.